Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Gonna have winter weather this weekend.
That's what we hear.
Or not. Or maybe. Yeah. So depending on which local news media outlet you believe, we're either going to see 3 to 6 inches in parts of the upstate or, maybe just some freezing rain. We're either going to have an historic weather storm or maybe not. That depends on who you believe. So we'll see. It depends on whether you're listening to the National Weather Service, the Weather Channel, AccuWeather, or one of our local television stations. I laugh at this. For instance, broadcast WYFF meteorologist Dale Gilbert says 3 to 6 inches of snow may fall. In North Interstate 85, 6 to 12 inches or more in the upstate mountains. But then other news outlets have been, just forecasting a wintry mix on Sunday. So either need to batten down the hatches, the big one is coming, or we're going to get a few hours of cold stuff and move on, depending on who you believe. And the only reason I say that is because we're supposed to believe that we do know, though, what the weather is like going to be like for a global warming, but we can't seem to nail down what it's going to be like on Sunday. You know, it would seem to me, Lee, like, okay, if we're this good at figuring out what the weather's going to be like 100 years from now, then surely we ought to be able to have some sort of statement out already about whether schools will be closed on Monday, right?
Or 100 years from now.
Or 100 years from now, yeah, we ought to. We ought to be able to, why the delay, right? I mean, why don't we go ahead and decide now if we know what the weather's going to be?
Well, 100 years from now, we won't have school anyway.
That's true. Yeah, they'll probably have a chip they can download into your brain by that age. Because exactly. My kids want one of those really badly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just go in, you get a shot to the chip, and boom, you're done. You can go back to playing video games.
Yeah, we probably will have discovered the Matrix by that time.
Yes. Unless we already did discover the Matrix and we're living in it now.
Exactly.
You never know.
That's what I'm saying.
But I feel like I'm living in the Matrix watching the weather reports. I just, I laugh at this stuff. And in just having done an analysis of this in Charlotte, of everything I wrote in Charlotte, this caused the most outrage. I mean, literal rage. And it was from weather forecasters. And when we did this, we tracked all winter, one winter, the weather forecast, and what actually happened. And what we found was that weather forecasting is 50-50% accurate up until the day before. In other words, you could toss a coin and get the same result. They just couldn't do it. We don't have that. It's not a knock on weather forecasters. We just don't have the technology to really know until you get into the 48-hour window what's going to happen. We know we can tell when something really big like a hurricane is coming. We can't tell the track. We know when a big storm is coming. We know that. But we don't know the track. We don't know what the severity is going to be when it gets here. And so I just tell folks, listen, if you know it's coming, if they tell you historic storm, no, wait, wintry mix. No, wait, what is it? All that means is, when do you get to the 48-hour window and check the news? Because they don't know. That's not their fault. It's just human beings have not yet perfected this. And this is why it gets on my last nerve when people are telling you the way it's going to be 3-4 days out. They don't know. They can't. I mean, they can't know. So anyway, something's happening on Sunday. Check back Saturday afternoon to find out what it's going to be. We are pretty good. Our technology is pretty good within the 48-hour window. So there you go. But it gives the news a chance to waste their time for days beforehand with predictions of what won't come through. It drives me nuts because it ends up, I really
couldn't tell, Tara.
Care.
I could not possibly tell.
It
this
does.
Irritated you anyway in the least.
No, this is every time this happens. This comes from living on the coast and watching local newscasters do this, to the tune where people are so annoyed by it that they rebel by sticking out through the storm, because so many times they've been told this is the big historic one's going to knock us clear over, and then it doesn't. They're like, screw this, I'm not going anywhere. It's just a form of rebellion against the stupidity. So, if there were an honest weather newscaster in the city, they would tell you some stuff's headed this way. We're going to have precipitation. Looks like it'll dip below freezing for a little while on Sunday. Check back on Saturday. We'll know then what it means. That would be an honest news report at this time.
Which is pretty much what our meteorologists here have been telling us.
Which, by the way, and I meant to tell the reason I'm bringing this up, I was getting flack yesterday for your news reporting on the weather. Because on the text line, because, well, you guys are only saying wintry mix possible. We've heard 3 to 6 inches. And I'm like, yeah, I thought you guys did a great job, not overhyping it. to get ratings. We get ratings other ways with real news.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, we have some very good meteorologists that work for us, and they do a great job, and they don't get overly excited. And, you know, that's what we try to do, try to be objective here. And, you know, the thing is, this area, just a few miles, just 2 or 3 miles can make a huge difference in the amount of winter precipitation that you get, or even the amount of rain that you get.
Because of the elevation.
It's because of the elevation. Yep. It's because of Lake Hartwell. It's because of the mountains. It's because of, you know, the prevailing winds and all kind of our distance from the coast. All these other factors go on into this in just the upstate of South Carolina and western North Carolina as well. And once again, just a few feet of elevation and a few miles of distance can make a huge difference when it comes to wintry precipitation or precipitation in general.
Yeah, and so much so that if you first move here, you think it's bizarre because you're looking out your window and you're like, well, it's cold and raining and they called off school. Well, that's because you live in Simpsonville.
Yeah.
And to the, you know, drive to the north of here and you're going to see a completely different geographic layout and, you know, maybe snow on the ground.
It's one of the things that makes the upstate very interesting because this area is a bunch of small, it's several small cities and a bunch of small towns that make up a huge group of people and the biggest population in the upstate. And, you know, if you put it collectively together, it's the largest market in the state. But, you know, it's not like you have one central city that is the center of it all.
Right. Like in most places.
Like, you know, LA or Chicago or New York or Atlanta. But it's, you know, you don't have a one specific area. We've got, you know, several small cities, medium-sized cities, and several small towns that all encompass this one big area we refer to as the upstate. And, you know, geographically, it's there's enough distance and enough elevation change where, once again, precipitation and winter precipitation differences can be amazingly different.
Yeah. I mean, you know, parts of the upstate, you go far enough to the east in the upstate, you know, you're on the edge of the Piedmont, you go far enough northwest, you're in the mountains. So, this place is massive. I discovered that the hard way when I first got here. People were sending me all kinds of, you know, hey, come out, speak to our group. So I was like, yeah, sure, fine. You know, and I was like, dang, I've been driving for almost an hour trying to get there.
45 minutes later.
You know, you're there. I'm like, wow, I don't know if I would have agreed to this if I had any idea that it was this far away. I mean, I was blown away by how much the upstate sprawls out. I mean, just land-wise, it goes forever. Mm-hmm. And there are literally different climates in the upstate. Yep. So, as you know, as you learn, if you're in the third grade in social studies here, you know, between the edge of the Piedmont and then the mountains. So we have different climate zones. So that's what makes this so confusing too with weather. When they say 3 to 6 inches, are they talking about Greenville? Are they talking about the mountains? It's all the upstate. So we'll see who was right here. And I can tell you, nobody knows and nobody will know till Saturday. Check back the weather and make your decisions what you're going to do then. I wouldn't go buy like 15 gallons of milk on Friday. You know what I'm saying? I'd wait till Saturday to do that. And I can guarantee you can tune into 106.3 WORD and our weather forecast will be spot on late Saturday afternoon, as will most everybody else's by that time. So that's the limitations of, but you would not believe, I mean, just, I'll never forget my editor being on the phone and we could hear them, the news director screaming in his ear because we had published the story that I did, basically showing that they got it wrong most of the time in the 3 day window. They just especially predicting snow or rain. They couldn't know. And it turned out at the time, weather.com was the most accurate.
Yeah.
Nothing else I have written, including things that have sent people to prison, has gotten people as angry as when I criticize the accuracy of the weather reporting with facts. So it's a big deal. It's a big business, a big deal. Doesn't make it accurate. And doesn't make it knowable. You know, 25 years from now, maybe we'll have better technology. I told you that the deep state, if not defeated, would be forever with us, expecting to weigh in elections. Yeah, often illegally, that they would become essentially a fourth branch of government. They're well on their way. Legally, illegally, doesn't matter. And I told you where they got the idea that they have long been resentful, that they don't have the power that the intelligence community has in China and in places like Russia, where the leadership comes up through either the party or the intelligence apparatus. Look at Putin. Look at 100 years of Russian history. Almost all of the leadership has come up through the intel agencies. Not councils, not elections, not the way we do it here. And they want that kind of power. and they're well on their way to getting it. This is one of the most stunning, brazen attempts to influence our elections. I don't think we'll ever be without them again. And I think as they get more powerful and are not punished, if they're not punished, I still hold out hope for that, we're going to see them start to mess around in close House and Senate races. I think we're going to begin to see that. We may see that as soon as 2016. They are all powerful. Believe they should be all powerful. But what happened over the last couple of days, one of the most shocking examples of this I have seen so far, wasn't illegal for a change. At least not yet that we know of. But hey, they're the deep state. They're the DOJ. So wait for it. Trump is sitting at the table with Xi Jinping. And he's sitting there. They are doing something historic that nobody thought anybody could they could do with the Chinese. They are cutting a trade deal that is good, so good for this country. Trillions of dollars are at stake. Don't forget that. Trillions of bucks are at stake, especially for the big U.S. multinationals that want the open borders and that have depended our companies on the Chinese government to produce the parts. The subsidized parts, this isn't capitalism, the subsidized parts that they put in things as the Chinese try to destroy the industries that make the parts and the big multinationals, often owned by the U.S., often located outside the country, sometimes inside, profit off the Chinese government subsidizing these products with Chinese money so as to weaponize China and to kill off these industries so they can come in and get a monopoly. Now, we all know eventually monopoly means the Chinese will hike the cost through the roof, but multinationals, they don't care. They just want a good profit next quarter with illegal Chinese parts in the NAFTA loophole. They've got to stop Trump. I mean, there's trillions of dollars at stake here. Yeah, China will win in the end, and what they're ultimately exporting is American jobs and American industry, but they don't care. They want to do it right now for profit, and the deep state wants to knock off Trump. So they've got all of this together. So Trump, our president, literally sitting there at the table with China, doing an amazing historical thing, getting an agreement. Chinese will finally open their borders to trade from us, as they promised to do when they entered the WTO.
A Chinese state-run newspaper says the arrest of a Chinese telecom executive at our request is a, quote, declaration of war.
The arrest literally goes down as they're both sitting there in Argentina together, making a fool of the head of China.
Wow. Meng Wanzhou is the chief financial officer of a Chinese telecom, big Chinese telecom company called Huawei. It's actually the largest telecom company in the world. She's also the daughter of the founder, and she was taken into custody by Canadian authorities on extradition orders from none other than us, the United States of America. The arrest, causing some unrest there in China, unfolding on the exact same night that President Trump and his Chinese counterpart, Xi Jinping, sat down for dinner in Buenos Aires and agreed to a 90-day trade truce. Now the White House insists the president did not know about the extradition request beforehand, but others did. Watch.
But others did. So the DOJ knows this is a major negotiation. Trillions are at stake. Stock market, economy, people's lives, but they don't care. And so the DOJ chooses this moment in history. This company has been under investigation since 2016. Nobody cared about what they did till this exact moment. So the DOJ decides, we'll have her arrested. Smack in the middle of the negotiations. I can't tell you, trillions of dollars in jobs, billions of dollars in trade is at stake. Trade that would be incredibly beneficial to our country, and they don't care. They don't care. Now, let me explain this. The arrest was for the alleged violation of Iran trade sanctions of this Chinese official, who was also a high-ranking member of the Communist Party, okay? This is not for human rights abuse. This is not for actual financial crimes. This is for violation of sanctions. We have never, in the history of the United States of America, ever done anything like this. So the DOJ lets Trump sit there, waits till he's sitting there, and then makes an absolute fool of him. This was an absolute blow to the economy and the American people by the deep state. But who knew? Who knew but didn't tell Trump? Among those, John Bolton. Yeah, cringed when Trump hired Bolton. Bolton is nothing but an old Bush hack. He's a one-world globalist like all the Bush hacks. He is not Trump's friend. And I said it at the time, and everybody thought I was nuts. He's not a good guy. So you literally got Bolton. He's sitting in the planning meetings. He's sitting in the meeting that day with the rest of the Trump trade team. Bolton knows the arrest is going down. He knows this will destroy potentially Trump's trade deal with China. Tank the stock market. Does he think to bring that up?
I knew in advance, but this is something that we get from the Justice Department, and these kinds of things happen with some frequency. We certainly don't inform the president on every one of them.
Huh. Yeah, okay. Sure, John, thanks. Yeah, why don't you go back to the Bush funeral? This is people's lives they're messing with. By the way, Bolton's like, oh, well, you know, the DOJ, we don't inform the president. We don't do that. You know who knew? Head of Canada knew. Trudeau knew. But Trump didn't know. This was a hit by the DOJ, a strike against the U.S. economy to prevent prosperity so as to win an election for the Democrats. Well, no wonder Toys R Us went out of business. I know they're talking about bringing it back. This isn't very encouraging. Top 10 types of gifts kids are asking for in 2018. Here's what's missing from it, largely anyway. Toys. Listen to what kids want. Number 10, DVDs and digital movies. We live online now, folks. We do. Number 9, a new laptop. That's what my kids want. Mainly so they could play their favorite version of Roblox. I had 2 laptops go down this year, so they have to wait till Christmas to get new ones. We don't just go buy that stuff out of turn. Number 8, iPads and tablets. You hear toys on here on this anywhere? Okay, now number 7, board games. That's good. That's a toy. Number 6, video game consoles. Number 5, this is a kid's list. Christmas list. A new phone? A new phone. I haven't had a new phone in years. My kids aren't getting that, I'll tell you what. Number 4, this is good, I guess. Books? Number 3, clothes. That's especially for older kids in middle school or high school. They note in the survey. Number 2, Legos. Good. That's a toy. Those are hot. Legos are like the big deal now. They are very much back in vogue. And number 1, computer games. So the only thing recognizable really is an actual physical toy on that list. Legos and board games. In the top 10, that's it. By the way, you're thinking, why do kids want to read books? Yeah, they do. A lot of gamers are writing books now. Which I don't care, whatever it takes to get them to read. If they're kid appropriate. Of course, number 1 is computer games. You know, we're struggling with this in my house. It's like the stuff they want, you can't wrap. It's online. Like, they want subscriptions to game services. They want Robux. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. They want Fortnite. That ain't happening. Not in my house. But yeah, if you are not playing Fortnite in school right now, and you could discuss where you are, I mean, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be in the in crowd. You got to play Fortnite and be good at it. Be able to discuss it. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. Deep state hit on Trump. Folks, I can't describe to you how devastating this is. When you look at the deep state and how they operate, you look at the DOJ, but you look at the ruling class in Washington, understand that trillions of dollars are at stake and that what Washington sells are American jobs. What Washington exports is American and manufacturing for profit. They are profiting off the decline of the country. This has been incredibly politically profitable for them. That's where all the big donations come from. Number 1 donor to Congress. You know who the number 1 donor to Congress is? Got any idea who that is? I'll tell you who owns Washington. So you want to know why you can't get anywhere? Number 1 donor to Congress, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. $43 million in the last calendar year. Number 2, National Association of Realtors. That's the illegal immigration lobby. Those are the 2 big illegal immigration lobbies. They're the biggest donors on the Hill. And it's known. I mean, if you don't do their bidding, they'll just give it to whoever's running against you. They don't even care the party. Number 3, Pharmaceutical Research Manufacturers of America. Okay. Number 4, Open Society Policy Center. What is that? That is a big open borders lobby. Do you see why you don't own Washington? Number 5, Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's why nothing got done on Obamacare. They gave $11 million to Congress members. So you can continue going through here, but basically what you're saying, seeing Facebook, Amazon, Lockheed Martin, all of these companies, that depends on big open borders labor. They want open borders, or they want to repress conservatives politically. That's why if it seems like they're not listening to you, well, they're really not listening to you. They're paid not to listen to you. That costs these lobbies a lot of money. And the most profitable thing, when you look at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the big multinational businesses back them. They are big open borders fans. They want to open borders so they could get the Chinese parts across the Mexican and Canada borders. Economics is very easy to understand. So is globalism. And what they want to do is to allow the Chinese government to continue subsidizing parts so as to kill off manufacturing inside the country. Now, why would American multinationals want to do that? Multinationals, big multinational companies, what I'm talking about. It's profitable. You mean the Chinese are willing to subsidize auto parts with Chinese cash from the Chinese? It's not capitalism. Oh, yeah, they want to kill off the U.S. auto parts business like they did the aluminum manufacturers. See, they'll dump auto parts. They dump aluminum. It's cheap. It's subsidized. They didn't beat us capitalistically. It's very hard to do. We have higher labor costs. Their energy costs are off the charts. So the big multinationals want to continue to profit off of this. And so Washington would like to export jobs to China. That's what they're paid to do. Okay. That's the background there. And so Trump is trying to get China to open its borders to trade with us. It's the largest human market on earth. We could have millions of jobs from that. China didn't want to do that. They don't want outflows of cash to America, like we have outflows of cash and jobs and manufacturing to China. They want to keep it all at home. Understandable. Theirs is not a free market. Remember, the Chinese Communist Party controls the market. They control the money. They see the money as theirs. They don't want it leaving their borders. They want the U.S. manufacturing jobs and the other jobs to go to China, and so does Washington, because that's what they get paid to do. And that's big profit for the multinationals, and eventually China will crush us. They will have monopoly control over every major industry. They'll jack prices through the roof. But that's like quarters down the road, so nobody cares. Okay, so that's the backdrop there. Then you got the deep state. They want to get rid of Trump badly because he is trying to hem in their power. So they do something that has never been done before in all of U.S. history. They arrest a Chinese in Canada. Literally, Trump is sitting at the table. This is going down. In Canada, they arrest a Chinese executive who is a high-ranking member of the Communist Party. Now, if they arrested her for crimes, or they arrested her for human rights abuses or something like that, you could at least say, okay, something's going on. They didn't. They arrested her for violating Iran trade sanctions. We have never arrested a human being in the history of this country from another country for that. It is outrageous. And understandable that the Chinese responded the way they did.
A Chinese state-run newspaper says the arrest of a Chinese telecom executive at our request is a, quote, declaration of war.
Who did it? The DOJ. Did it tell the president? No. They wait till he's sitting there with the Chinese president to do it. On the eve of truly historic breakthroughs that literally will create, if Trump succeeds, millions of jobs in this country. Economy will roar, stock market will roar. They can't have it. They've got to destroy it. So they don't tell him. They set the timing for maximum humiliation. John Bolton, who is not Trump's friend, he's not your friend. He is loyal to the Bush arm of the Republican Party, which profits off the destruction of the economy, which gets its financial power solely from the Chamber of Commerce and the multinationals. The Bushes have managed to maintain control of the party through the use of Chamber of Commerce money to kill off conservative candidates not loyal to them in the primaries. This is how this country works. I wish I could change it. It's the facts. John Bolton is a Bush guy. He is not your friend. He talks a good game, but he's not your friend. Bolton, sitting there with the Trump trade team, they're hashing this, gaming this Chinese thing out all weekend, doesn't see fit to mention to the president that they're about to humiliate him at the DOJ with a ridiculous, never-before-seen arrest of a Chinese high-ranking official?
I knew in advance, but this is something that's that we get from the Justice Department, and these kinds of things happen with some frequency. We certainly don't inform the president on every one of them.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for trashing your country. We'll throw you a big funeral, too. The media's going to love you now. Peter Navarro, he's on the Trump trade team. He's a genius, this guy, Peter Navarro. So he's got to go out there and explain the betrayal by the Justice Department and Bolton to the media.
Wow, okay. None of you on the team, you were not aware? Mr. Kudlow, was he aware?
No one was on the team was aware. And let me be clear. Let me paint the picture for you. Prior to sitting down to dinner, we met several times as a group. Larry Kudlow, Steve Mnuchin, Ambassador Bolton, Secretary Pompeo, Ambassador Lighthizer, myself, with the president, Jared Kushner. This never came up. And so what I'm just telling you, and we don't need to have this be an extended conversation, is that we were not informed of that by the Justice Department.
Okay, so what's going on right now? The Justice Department has a political prisoner. They have a lot of those. They got a new political prisoner. Top-ranking Chinese official. Yeah, they're just going to hold on to her. Scuttle the trade talks. Crash the market. Oh, it's going to be great. From their perspective, not yours. Yeah, jobs, millions of jobs hang in the balance and trillions of dollars. Thanks, John Bolton. Thanks, dude. You know, you gotta love this. The Bush folks are literally, they're burying daddy right now and carrying out a political assassination. Not an actual one. They are literally exerting the fist once again to crush the American economy for their own, in order to maintain control of the Republican Party. And the number one way they maintain control of the Republican Party is very simple. Trump's got to be gone. And that's why Bolton didn't say a word. So the Department of Justice takes a political hostage to stop Trump from succeeding at growing the U.S. economy by opening trade barriers to China, which I can't tell you. I mean, this is the largest human market on earth. If we could get access to it, especially if we're the only ones with access to it, Europeans can cut their own trade deal. I mean, we're talking millions of trade jobs. Millions of jobs, millions of manufacturing jobs. Who said Bill Clinton? That was the deal he cut. He said, listen, we're going to let China into the WTO. We're going to support that. We're going to lose a couple million, manufacturing jobs here in America. But we will gain far more by having access to the Chinese market. This was during his term as president. And he was right. That would have happened. Except China said, boo-boo, we're not opening our markets. Screw you. But we want access to your markets. China doesn't want us coming into their country because we will crush them economically. They know it. And it would lead to the exfiltration of wealth from their country. Keep in mind, China is not a capitalist country. It's a communist country. And so all wealth there is only owned at the pleasure of the Chinese government. And so if we are beating them at manufacturing things and Chinese people buy them, guess where the wealth goes? It filters out of the country. And Congress is owned by the multinationals who are currently profiting off of Chinese-made goods. Now, there would be nothing wrong with profiting off of Chinese-made goods at all if they were made capitalistically and they were legitimately beating us in the capitalist competition. They are not. These are Chinese-subsidized goods meant to flood our markets. This is why closing the NAFTA loophole is critical. So the DOJ waits, the Department of Injustice, waits until Trump is sitting there at the table with the Chinese president and arrests this woman. Again, she's a high-ranking member of the Communist Party. We don't like the Communist Party. We don't like people like that. That's not the point. We like jobs for Americans. She did not commit a crime. She did not commit human rights abuses. She did not steal stuff. She violated our Iran trade sanctions, they say. We have never in the history of the United States of America arrested a foreign national for that, ever. And they wait till Trump's sitting there with the president of China, who has gone out on a limb for Trump, looking weak to his own people, but trying to save his spiraling economy. And you slap our president like that across the face, and you don't tell him it's coming?
and his own ambassador, John Bolton, who's a Bush guy. So all you need to know is a Bush guy. Knew? He's sitting at the table with the Trump trade team, and Bolton didn't tell him?
I knew in advance, but this is something that we get from the Justice Department, and these kinds of things happen with some frequency.
Yeah, shut up, John. Like, go back to the Bush funeral. Leave us alone. Find another country to destroy. They can't allow us to win, folks. They can't allow us to win. Because if Trump wins for you and creates a generation of jobs, they will lose their power. That's all they care about. Incredibly, China's still sticking by us after that, for now. But don't forget, the DOJ is a political prisoner. So they've just put Xi Jinping in an impossible position. The DOJ and the deep state now control China negotiations, and they will ensure we lose. I wonder if Trump can get this woman out of prison. I don't know what the next move is. I am flabbergasted this morning.